Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is wonderful to be here today. And I am so thankful that we have this place where we can come and gather in the name of the Lord and sing His praises and worship Him and study His Word. Before we do anything this morning, though, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this morning, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst be here today with us. Let Thy Spirit be here. Let Thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. Inspire us as we sing unto Thee, O God. Inspire us to truly give Thee our hearts, to worship Thee with our whole hearts, Lord. Not feigning, but to do it to truly just give ourselves to Thee, Lord, as we worship Thee. We ask, God, that Thou inspire us to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth, we pray. Let Thy Spirit be here, O God. Move upon us with a mighty moving of Thy Spirit. Abide over this entire service, we pray, and we ask that Thy perfect will be done in all things. In Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start in the hymnal this morning with number 178, Where He Leads, All Follow. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dear Father, than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is a pattern for me. Sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He. He's a great example and pattern for me. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where He leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Oh, where He leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. Where next, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, number 251. Alarms, leaning, leaning, 204 and sing the Lily of the Valley. To be like thee. Number 42. What we're going to try now. This is a song I've been kind of going back and forth on. I want to try it. It's just that I've never sung it before. So, number 159, Master, the Tempest is Raging.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Wow.
That is a wonderful song. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Chuck, could I get you to do that for us, please? Thank you, sir.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father in heaven, we thank you this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings, for thy many abundant blessings, for the way that thou hast kept us and sustained us for all these years. For we know that we would be completely helpless and lost without thee. And we thank thee, O God, for thy guiding hand. We pray that thou wouldst be with us forever. And we pray, O God, that we would always be with thee. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the sake of thy name. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst bless the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I know Diane could use some prayer. She's been sick for a while, and I guess she's been in a lot of pain too, so we're just going to pray for her right now and ask for a complete healing touch. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning for our dear sister Diane, asking, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven. Be with her and help her. Strengthen her. Heal her of her pain. Heal her of her sickness. Anything that may be wrong, we ask, O God, for a complete healing touch. We ask, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven. We pray that she would feel thy hands on her now, even now, thy healing virtues flowing forth. We pray, O God, that thou hast lift her up. Be with her and help her and guide her, we pray. Heal her, we pray, Lord, for we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God, and that nothing is too hard for thee. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word, and that'll be number 288, The Old Account Settled.
Happy
Savior's all above. I'll sing redemption story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled. Thing that He took our sins away. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, it is time to get started in the Word this morning, and we are going to be starting in Psalm 73. I'm calling this message today, Until I Went Into the Sanctuary. Before we read even one verse this morning, I'm going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, asking, O God, that Thou wouldst be with us as we study Thy Scriptures, as we open Thy Holy Word. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst move upon us, inspire us, give us understanding as we look upon Thy Holy Scriptures. For we know it is only by Thy mercy and Thy grace that we can understand anything from Thy Word. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst set us aflame for Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst truly be with us in our hearts, Lord. We pray, O God, that anything that shouldn't be in our lives would be taken away, that Thou wouldst cleanse us from all wickedness and uncleanness, Lord. We ask, O God, to be clean and perfect for Thee and complete in Thee, Lord. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst continue to do a work in us and change us for the better as we study Thy Word, Lord. Be with us and help us, we pray. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that will perceive and understand. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to be starting in Psalm 73. And you know, this is an amazing psalm, really. Because it talks about the wicked and how they seem to prosper, how it seems like everything is going their way. And you know, sometimes we might feel that same way. The world wears us down, and we get tired, and we feel like we don't have any strength sometimes, and we don't know what to do exactly. But I tell you what, when you get in the presence of the Lord, everything changes. And we're going to see that as we look at this psalm. In Psalm 73, verse 1, it tells us, "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." And I'm sure we've all felt that way at one time or another. We just get tired and the world wears you down and you wonder, how can I go on? How can I go on? Verse 3, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You know, you look around at some of those very wicked people, and it appears they are very prosperous. They look at some of the elite, and they're very, very wealthy. They have billions upon billions of dollars. And you look at, you know, all of the celebrities and so forth, and, you know, people get this feeling, they think, well, if I just had more money, I would be happier. But you know what? Those people, a lot of them, aren't happy at all, despite their millions. You ever wonder why there are so many tormented rock stars who die young of a drug overdose? They're not happy. They've got fame, they've got wealth, and it seems like they have everything they could possibly want, but they're not happy. So you can look around and you might see the prosperity of the wicked and the very rich men and think, wow, they've got everything. Everything they could possibly want. But you know what? There are some people in this world who are so poor that all they have is money. There is something far more important than that, and we're going to see as we continue on with this study just what that is. But verse 4 tells us, "For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." Oh yes, they appear to be strong, don't they? But they're not as strong as they look. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Oh yes, they do have that pride, don't they? Those elite people, they think they're so special, so powerful, so wonderful. They think they're above and beyond everybody else. There's them, and then there's just the human cattle beneath them. That's the way they think, and they have pride. It compassed them about as a chain. And that, you know, pride isn't a good thing. And in this world, they tell you, oh, you should be proud of your accomplishments. Have self-esteem, all the wonderful things you've done. But we know from the Bible, if we do anything well, we should give the glory to God. Each and every time, there's no room for pride in our lives. And Jesus is our example. You know, if there was anyone in the history of the world who ever deserved to be proud, it was Jesus. But he wasn't, was he? Not at all. Not even slightly. But yes, there are people out there, they think, oh, we've got it made. And they are full of pride. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Oh, they think, oh, I've got so much. More than I could ever want. And you know what? Some of those people out there who have millions and millions and millions upon millions of dollars are those televangelists on TV. Now, why does anybody need that much money? I don't know. I don't understand. You know, I could see maybe people wanting $1 million, thinking, well, if I had $1 million, that would be financial security. But these people, they have tens, sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars. Why do you need that much? It gets to a point where you just really don't need it anymore, do you? And I think a lot of those guys are at that point. But they keep hauling it in by the bucketful. And you know, some churches will literally use buckets to take up their tithes and offerings. 5-gallon pails sometimes. I've seen it. But yes, it seems like these people, they've got all they could wish for, all they could hope for. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? You know, the wicked doers, those out there working their plan. Well, it's not really their plan, they just think it is. But there are people out there acting under the inspiration of the devil. And they think that God doesn't see what they're doing. How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They think he doesn't see them, but he sees it all. He knows it all. And you know, our Savior is very patient, he's very kind, he's very long-suffering. And sometimes even the evildoers, he'll give them space to repent. He'll give them time. Sometimes it seems like they get more time than the righteous, doesn't it? Some of those very elite, wicked men, they live to be very old, don't they? Of course, part of the reason for that might be they have a better food supply than the rest of the people, but they do seem to live a long time. And sometimes I think that's because God is giving them space to repent. But sadly, a lot of those men and a lot of those women never will. But they think God doesn't see what they're doing. But he sees it. Behold, these are the ungodly, verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. You know, the psalmist, you can kind of relate to what he's saying. You know, you get so tired of the world and the prosperity of others and the struggles that you may have, and you wonder, is it worth it? Is the struggle worth it? Oh, it's worth it. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know, sometimes we see what's happening in the world and it's too painful to consider it. But we need to get our strength from the Lord. And it tells us in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You know, when you're tired, when you're down and you don't know what to do, the best thing you can do is get in the presence of God. And the psalmist understood that. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. It's amazing the clarity you can find when you get in the presence of God.
Amen.
Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? Oh yes, it seems like they've got it made. They prosper. They have everything they could ever wish for. But they don't have God. And a moment is coming. And for most of them, it'll be a very sudden moment.
Right.
Where it's all over.
Yeah.
How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. And you know, that's true. A lot of those people are very afraid. But if you're a child of God, you don't have to be afraid, because we have that wonderful peace that he gives us. And we don't have to be afraid. In fact, the scriptures tell us that perfect love casteth out fear. And when you have the perfect love of God in your heart, you don't have to be afraid of anything. After all, what's the worst they could do to you? Send you to heaven. Verse 20, as a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. And you know, it does grieve us when we come to the realization that we've been thinking foolishly, looking around at the prosperity of others, the wicked doers, and thinking, oh, they've got it made. No, they don't. You have to see things from a spiritual viewpoint. And when you do that and you get into the presence of God, you realize all they have in this world, those are just material things. And if you don't have God, you don't really have anything. Not anything that's going to last. But God is eternal, and we can be with him in eternity. We have treasures in heaven. That's what's important. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, we do get tired, physically tired, but God, He gives us strength. He lifts us up. Amazing things happen when you get in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And the psalmist realized that as soon as he went into that sanctuary of God. Verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. And yes, it is a wonderful thing to draw near to God. The scriptures tell us, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And that's what we all need to do. We need to get into the presence of the Lord. You know, if you don't get into the presence of the Lord regularly, the world will wear you down. It just has that effect. But getting in God's presence, that's what strengthens you. That's what builds your faith. That's where you find the power and the strength to continue on, to go on. And you can look around at all the other people in the world. The people, it seems like they have it all. And you realize, hey, if they don't have Jesus, they don't have anything. So for this psalmist, his whole attitude, his whole outlook changed when he went into that sanctuary. And you know, there's another time in history, the days of Moses, when it was a very sad time for the children of Israel, for they had committed a grave sin. They had made an idol, a golden calf, and they had danced around it, and God punished them for doing so. But we're going to see something wonderful happened when Moses got in the presence of the Lord. Exodus chapter 33. And this chapter, it happens immediately after the story of the golden calf. Horrible story, that golden calf that they made. And they said, oh, this is Jehovah. This is the God that brought you out of Egypt, and it was a golden calf. That wasn't God. And of course, we know God was angry about that. But God is merciful. And we're going to read about His mercy and His grace in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 1 tells us, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. God, of course, was still going to keep His promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, His promise to multiply their seed, to make great nations of them, a promise that was kept, and a promise that a Messiah would come forth from them, the most important promise of all. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. You know, people, they might read this and they think, well, isn't that a little mean? Why did God drive out all these people that were in that land? Well, these people were so wicked, you couldn't really even fully imagine it. They were horrible people. That's why God drove them out. And you know, if you read the Bible, He didn't drive out every people. There were some He allowed to stay. But the wicked ones, the evildoers, well, they had to go. And, you know, I don't really want to talk about the things that they did, but to give you a hint, you know, you read the scriptures in the Old Testament when God was giving the Israelites the law, and there's a whole bunch of things He tells them not to do. And we read about those things sometimes, and we think, well, that should be common sense. Nobody should ever even want to do those things, but the reason God told them not to do those specific things is because the people around them were doing those very things. That's why He had to give them that law. Because there were other nations around them, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and they were doing those horrendous, wicked, treacherous things. So they couldn't stay there. They were being evicted. Verse 3, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And we see here that God was still very irritated with what the Israelites had just done, dancing around that golden calf, that false god, and attributing that false god to him, saying, "This is God." And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, "Say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee." And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered in to the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. What we're going to see here in this chapter is, you know, it wasn't a happy time for the Israelites. They were still reeling from that horrendous mistake they had made dancing around that calf. But you know what? Everything changed when Moses went into that tabernacle, when he went into that sanctuary, when he got into the presence of God. That's when everything changed. Verse 10, And all the people saw the cloudy pillars stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Now, isn't that nice? We know that our God is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Yeah. What a friend we have in Jesus, as we so often sing. Yeah. He is our friend. Yeah. And here we have God speaking to Moses as a friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." You know, when you get in the presence of God, you find His grace, don't you? And we all need His grace. That's always been the case throughout the history of mankind. Some people, they think about grace as just being a New Testament concept, but that's not really the case at all. You can find it in the Old Testament too. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and it was that grace that allowed us to be here today, because if Noah hadn't found grace in the Lord, in the eyes of God, none of us would be here. And we see here that Moses is also finding grace with God. Verse 13, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And you know, that's an invitation he has extended to us.
Yes, amen.
Where do we find rest? In Jesus Christ. That's where we find rest. And he gives that rest to all who seek it. And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." So God is telling him, "My presence shall go with thee. I will be with you. My presence will be with you." And in verse 15, Moses is telling him, if you don't go with me, if your presence isn't with me, then it's not even worth it. Nothing's worth it. It's not worth going. Because we need you with us. "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. You know, it seemed like they were in quite a bind, didn't it? Things weren't looking so good for the children of Israel, but everything changed when Moses went into that tabernacle, when he went into the sanctuary of God, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God told him, I know thee by name.
Yeah.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And, you know, the glory of God, it is beyond our comprehension. And, of course, we know that God is a spirit, he is invisible, but sometimes he would take on physical manifestations, even in the Old Testament. And we know that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. But you know what, when we get to heaven and we see Jesus sitting on that throne, his face is going to shine brighter than the sun. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Oh, the glory and the splendor of the Lord. It is so much to behold that most people couldn't even do it. But we see in this chapter, Exodus 33, everything changed. That was the turning point when Moses got in the presence of the Lord, when he went into that tabernacle. Amazing things can happen when you get in the presence of the Lord. And you know what's wonderful? We know that he is right here with us today. He's right here, right now. We are in the presence of the Lord right now.
Yes, praise the Lord.
And I hope you can all perceive that. I know I feel it. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But we're going to look at something else that happened. Acts chapter 3. As two men were on their way to the sanctuary. On their way to the temple. Two men named Peter and John, and something amazing is going to happen. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 tells us, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They were going there for that hour of prayer because they wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So there was a man there, lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked before, lame his entire life, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. So he looked at them, expecting perhaps to receive a few coins or a little bit of money. But Peter and John were going to give him something far better than money. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. You know, I can kind of relate to that. But this just goes to show that Peter couldn't have possibly been the first pope, as they like to claim. He said, silver and gold have I none. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this is an amazing thing. He spoke those words in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And you know what happened? Faith bloomed in his soul. He believed those words. And he did just what Peter told him to do. He stood up. This was a miracle. He had never walked before in his life. He was lame from his mother's womb. But verse 7 tells us, And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen.
He wasn't just walking. He was walking and leaping and praising God.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, wonderful things can happen when you're in the presence of the Lord. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And of course, this is a miracle, because even a little baby, it takes them some time to learn how to walk, doesn't it? But this man, he just got up when Peter took him. And he got up and he started leaping and walking and praising God. Hallelujah. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And everything changed for that man that day at the sanctuary. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Oh yes, they put Jesus on that cross, and he was crucified, and he died on that cross, and he was buried. But the grave could not contain him, for he had no sins of his own. He took our sins upon himself. But yes, he died, but he rose again after 3 days and three nights, victorious from that grave. And there were witnesses. And we read all about that, actually, in the book of Acts. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter is telling them, it was God who did it. It wasn't us. And when God works a miracle and he uses someone to do it, we can't take the credit for that. We can't take the glory for that. That glory belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
It is he who heals us. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But these things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
We all need that refreshing, and the only way to get that refreshing is to get in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
The presence of the Lord. That's why Peter and John were going to the temple. They wanted to be in the presence of the Lord. And when you come together with the people of God and you're in the presence of the Lord, wonderful things happen. But Peter is telling them, if you repent, if you're converted, if your sins are blotted out, then you will have that time of refreshing, and it will come from being in the presence of the Lord. And there really is nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. Nothing that compares to it. You really can't even fully describe it, because there's nothing else like it. Verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. What is that referring to? He shall send Jesus Christ. It's referring to the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Remember in John 14, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Peter is telling him right here, he shall send Jesus Christ, which just goes to show beyond any shadow of a doubt that yes, the Holy Ghost is the very Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Comforter is the very Spirit of Jesus Christ that is sent to us after we repent of our sins, after we're converted, after our sins are blotted out, and that time of refreshing comes. Why does that time of refreshing come? Because Jesus Christ comes to live inside us, live in our hearts. Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And of course, we know that is speaking of the Lord Jesus, a prophet like unto Moses, but a prophet better and greater than Moses. Yeah. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Oh yes, all throughout the Old Testament, even in the book of Genesis. We studied that book, and there are all kinds of prophecies in there about the Lord Jesus. All throughout the Old Testament, you can read about Jesus. You find a lot of that in Isaiah. You find it in the Psalms. You find it in the Scriptures all over the place. The prophets, they spoke of Jesus. They spoke of this time when His Spirit would come forth, that refreshing. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying, unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And that's what he did for us. But we see in this chapter just how important it is to be in the presence of the Lord so that those times of refreshing may come. Oh yes, this world will wear you down. It'll tire you out. But when you get in the presence of God, the time of refreshing comes. Let's go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And in verse 1 of this psalm it tells us, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. And that's the right thing to do. Put your trust in God each and every day. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. You know, saints. Catholics, they say that's someone, a Christian who went on and died, and then they give them sainthood. But you know what? If you're not a saint while you're alive, you'll never be one when you're dead. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. The drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Oh yes, there are people out there, so they go after other gods. Happens every day. And their sorrows will be multiplied, the scriptures tell us, when they do that. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Praise the Lord. What is your inheritance that we can look forward to? We've been adopted by the Lord Jesus. We are His adopted children, and our inheritance is everlasting life, eternal life.
Yes. Amen.
That's our inheritance.
Praise the Lord.
And I wouldn't take all the money in the world to give that up. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. There again, we see that rest that God has for us. We rest in Him from our old works, from our old sins. In Him we find rest. And He lifts us up. He builds us up. He strengthens us. We find rest in the Lord Jesus. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. And verse 10 there, that is actually a prophecy of the Lord Jesus. He didn't leave the Holy One, the Lord Jesus didn't stay in that grave. And He didn't suffer corruption. He rose from that grave. Verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh yes, when we get in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It is so important to get in the presence of the Lord. And the psalmist in Psalm 73, when he went into that sanctuary and got into the presence of the Lord, his whole outlook on life changed. And when Moses got into the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord, the whole outlook changed. And when Peter and John were going to that sanctuary, wonderful miracles took place. Oh yes, amazing things happen when you get in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to go to one final place in Scripture before we close. 1 Peter chapter 2 for just a few verses. You know, it's wonderful to get in the presence of the Lord. And people say, well, I know God is with me, and that's true. But there's something very special when you get together with other children of God, other Christians. When you go into the sanctuary with them. Because in this chapter, we're going to read something that's going to tell us that each of us are stones. And not just stones, but lively stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 tells us, Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone. We build our lives on Him. He is the very foundation of our lives. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Jesus is our rock, and we find strength, we find stability in Him when we build our lives on Him. But for those who refuse to do so, it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They'll trip all over it, won't they? Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that mercy. But this chapter tells us that we are lively stones in the very temple of God. But you know, that's why it's so wonderful when we come together in the name of the Lord. When we're with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we gather in His name. Because yes, we can be stones in the kingdom of God. But when we're together, that power of the Lord Jesus that dwells inside us is magnified. It's stronger because it's a stone and another stone and another stone. Not just one stone, but stones together.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
That's why it's so important that we come to the sanctuary and get in the presence of God. Because when we're together, we're stronger. And you know, I feel bad for people sometimes who don't have a church to go to. There are people all over the world who don't have a church to go to. They say they can't find a good church. And you know, for those people, I would suggest you get together with other people of God. If you can find any. Because when you're together with other people of God, in the presence of the Lord, you get stronger. We all get stronger. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important that we come together. That's why we gather here on Sundays. Because we want to be in the presence of the Lord. And we are stones. But when we're together, we're not just a stone, but we are many stones together. And we are stronger. And the power of God, His presence is stronger. It's magnified. It's greater because we are together. Not just one stone, but stones upon stones. And you know, this, like I said, this world will wear you down. It'll tire you out. And when that happens, just remember, you need to get to the sanctuary. You need to get in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
The presence of the Lord. And if you can gather with the people of God, wherever it is you are, do it. Do it. It is so important. Praise the Lord. But we see wonderful things happen when we get in the presence of the Lord. And wonderful things happened for that psalmist when he went into the sanctuary. And when Moses went into that tabernacle, that sanctuary. And when Peter and John went to that sanctuary. Oh yes, we need to get to that sanctuary. And you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be here if you can't be here. But it is important to gather in the name of the Lord. It is important to be with like-minded individuals. You know, you read in the book of Acts of all those miracles that take place, the power of God magnified. Why was that? In all of those stories, there's always brothers, sisters, Christians together. And when they were together, that's when you saw the most wonderful and powerful miracles. Because it was stone upon stone. And the power of God was magnified. Praise the Lord. And we can have that even today. Oh yes, the power of God is stronger when we are together at His sanctuary. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Scriptures. We thank Thee for Thy Holy Word. We thank Thee for Thy promises. We thank Thee, O God, for the joy we find in Thy presence. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst be here with us forever, Lord. We pray that we would never forget Thee, but be mindful of Thee always. That we would come together in Thy name and draw upon Thy strength, O God. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst be with us each and every day as we go forward. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray, and let us not forget Thy Scriptures. Let us not forget Thee, we ask. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Glory to God. But we are going to sing a chorus in closing. And I believe the chorus we are looking for is number 26, In His Presence. Yep, number 26 in the chorus book, In His Presence. In His Presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His, and He is mine. In the presence of fullness of joy in His presence. dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.